This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Hello and welcome back to another instalment of The Glow Show. I am Joy presenter Jason Gibbs, and in the studio today with me, a very familiar voice, especially if you've been subscribing to our LGBTI Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer podcast here, it is Gabby Tyack. How are you going, Gabby?
Oh, thanks for having me in again, Jason. I'm going to be with you every week doing this.
I'm very excited about this, and I think a lot of Joysters are excited. We got some good feedback for our first episode, which
Fantastic.
Is wonderful. Today we're talking family violence.
Yeah, well, it's obviously an issue in our society that we see, unfortunately, a lot too often in the news, and obviously for bad reasons, not positive reasons. So today we've got two special guests. We've got Sergeant Tanya Connolly, who's from our Family Violence Unit in Melbourne.
Hello.
And we've also got Sergeant Carolyn Beasley, who's a sergeant at our Melbourne West Police Station.
Fantastic. You? Thank you both for being here today.
No worries.
So what is family violence?
It's a good place
to
start,
question,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it is a broad question. And I guess probably the easiest way for me to explain what family violence is to give it in the context of the Family Violence Protection Act. So family violence encompasses a lot of different types of behaviour. So the most obvious ones would be physical or sexual abuse, but it can also be conduct that's emotionally or psychologically abusive. Economic abuse is also family violence. Any behaviour that's threatening or coercive, or makes someone feel that they're being controlled or dominated, or makes someone feel concerned for their safety in any way. And also family violence is causing a child or a witness or another person to be exposed to the effects of that type of range of behaviour that I just explained.
It's interesting you should mention economic control, because I don't think a lot of people would consider that a form of family violence. It was hard enough to get people to think about, the mental side of the equation and manipulation, and then
yes.
This is another level on top of that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
If some people live in a relationship where they think these kinds of behaviours are normal because that's the only thing they've encountered, whether it's from their own family and upbringing or whether with their intimate partners, that's all they've known. And we've got to educate people to realise that some of these behaviours are actually criminal offences.
Yeah, and sometimes it's quite challenging, isn't it? Because it's a very personal thing. It's your relationship or whatever the relationship might be, and you're not necessarily going to, go out on the front foot and think about getting advice from someone. And sometimes even talking to a friend or other family member outside of the equation is also quite a challenge, isn't it?
It certainly is. I mean, if you look at what the media talks about and what our statistics show, there's one woman murdered in whether it's Australia or Victoria, I'm not sure, each week.
That's terrible.
And we also have to realise that it's not just women who are affected by family violence. It's men, it's children, it's all types of different relationships.
Is it harder for men to speak up in a family violence situation?
Sometimes it is.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably more socially acceptable.
There's a bit of pride there, isn't there, that you think that perhaps you won't be taken seriously, or
yes.
You are not man enough to be able to deal with it yourself? Or...
Yes. Yeah, I think so. So I think socially it's more acceptable as a female to come forward than it is for a man, but we're trying to change those stereotypes. And certainly I think family violence is so topical now, especially following on from the Royal Commission. You know, it's a big part of the federal budget. You're seeing family violence on television, and the government is running advertising campaigns to raise the awareness of family violence, which is really important. And we are seeing more men coming forward and reporting than what we have in the past, which is great.
Have things changed a lot since the Royal Commission? Is it moving as quickly as you would like?
So the Royal Commission was just over 12 months ago. So we're just hitting the first anniversary following on from the Royal Commission. Yes, we have. There's been a lot of changes that have happened in the way we approach family violence since the Royal Commission, but there still is a long way to go. I guess if you imagine there's so many different agencies that need to come together and work together to affect those changes and those recommendations that come through from the Royal Commission. And a lot of that is also changing our computer systems and the way that we do business and the way we share information with other organisations. So it will take a little bit more time. I think they're saying sort of 2 to 3 years to roll out all of the recommendations, but we're well on our way to implementing those changes.
Right.
And the fact that we have family violence units within Victoria Police all across the state, it shows where we're going, because we used to just turn up to incidents that people would either call themselves or neighbours would call and say there's an argument next door, and police would turn up and deal with it in whatever way they thought appropriate. But now we're guided by certain guidelines and things that we must, mandatory guidelines that we must act, and family violence units have come into play. So I guess, Tanya, maybe you could explain when we started having family violence units, if you know when they came into Victoria Police and what the role is.
So I guess we've had family violence units for a long time. I suppose the main difference following on from the Royal Commission is the role of the family violence unit.
Right.
So one of the, I guess, recommendations of the Royal Commission was that police probably needed to do more to address recidivism and to help protect AFMs. I think that the Royal Commission found that too much of that risk was held with the AFM and not with the police. So part of what my unit does is we proactively manage high-risk recidivists in our area. So we cover Division 1, which is the city in Yarra. And so we will proactively manage them. And there's very much a strong investigation focus with family violence units since the Royal Commission, which probably wasn't so much of a focus prior to that. It was more linking affected family members into services.
Right, yeah.
Whereas now what we're seeing is that, no, we really need to be, for the high-risk offenders, we need to be proactively out there managing them in the community. So that's probably where we've seen the biggest shift in terms of how the units operate now.
Such a huge task, isn't it, Gabby?
Yeah, it is. And so what Tanya was saying is that they, as police, we identify who these people are, who the offenders are, who are perpetrating family violence regularly.
Yep.
And even we try to intervene at early stages now so that things don't get as bad as they used to. So we do intervene early and get support services assisting them, so we can hopefully prevent things getting more serious and continuing on.
Is it sort of above all a situation where you're trying to get someone out of an unsafe situation, or are you trying to support people in the situation that they are in and create a safer space within the parameters that they've already got? Like, is there one way that's sort of favoured against the other?
I guess not necessarily, because ultimately it's up to the person who's in that situation.
Sure.
So if they come to the police or if they go to an external agency. So people don't have to come directly to us. There's other services that they can access. But if they were to come to the police and they want to get themselves out of that relationship, then that's what we will assist them to do. So we'll put orders, intervention orders in place. So that restricts how the perpetrator of that family violence can contact them or engage with them. If they've got serious concerns for their safety, we'll link them in with agencies so that we can get emergency accommodation for them and other things. But if incidents are reported to police where there's family violence and that person wants to stay in that relationship, we will also do everything we can to make them safe, even though their choice is to stay in that relationship where that violence is occurring.
And up until recently, it's been quite difficult to find the appropriate support services for LGBTI perpetrators and victims of family violence.
Right.
And recently we've had particular agencies who are working in our LGBTI areas. So Switchboard, Victorian AIDS Council, Transgender Victoria and Drummond Street have come together to work together to make sure that they are able to offer appropriate services.
Okay.
So we do have people to refer people to.
And I'm assuming using their research and what they know of our particular community and working together to come up with a more solid plan.
Yeah, previously, if we were referring victims or perpetrators on to services, sometimes those services weren't able to provide the right service to them because they were looking at relationships as male and female and heterosexual and weren't looking outside that box.
Sure.
So it's a great amount of work that these services are providing now.
So let's say someone listening at the moment within the LGBTI community has an issue, or they feel like they've finally got the courage to step up and contact the police and get some advice. How do they they go about that?
Well, if they're experiencing family violence and they're in immediate danger, 000 is the right place to go. You can always speak to ring up police at a police station and ask for some advice if you're not in immediate danger. You can also contact any of the services that I mentioned to ask to speak to a counsellor or a social worker to ask for advice. And a GLOW is also a perfect person to contact because we can also refer you you to the correct services.
So, Gabby, should we explain the role that police do play with victims and offenders in a bit more detail, or do you feel...
Sure.
Yep. Yeah, sure.
So, Carolyn, do you want to respond to that question? I mean, if you're out on the van and you're responding to a family violence incident and police turn up to respond, what happens? How do you deal with victims and the offenders of the violence differently, or what would you do?
So as a responding sergeant, we would have a van attend, so a divisional van that would usually contain two members. As a sergeant, I would also attend, and it's just to sort of oversee and supervise what my members are doing. The most important thing is that we get there early and we speak to both parties separately. It is important to separate your victim, who we refer to as an AFM, an affected family member, and our respondent, who would be the perpetrator. It's important to separate them to get each person's story, because with family violence, it is that cycle. And we do deal with a lot of controlling behaviours. So talking to them together, that sort of coercion and controlling nature of their relationship will overtake. So a victim might not want to be honest about their circumstances.
Sure.
So we'll separate the two parties and we'll talk to them. We'll say, look what happened. And we just want everyone to be honest with us. We want to be able to see what's happening, you know, be honest. Tell us what's happening.
Do you find that at the first moment when you rock up that, you know, there's a particular story there and then, you know, people are on the defensive and then after a little bit of, you know, working through the issues and talking to them individually that you start to see the reality come through a little bit more, like the
yeah,
truth
definitely.
Comes out a bit more?
Yep.
And they feel like they can finally get to the bottom of what their issues are?
Or? Yeah, and police are pretty good at reading people as a whole. We're always...
You probably see this a
people
lot.
People watching. Yeah, exactly. So we just want you to be honest with us and we'll be able to sometimes read between the lines.
I don't think anyone really wants the police to rock up to their house and for things to escalate to that point, do they? So I think maybe at that point of time that they feel like maybe we need to get to the bottom of this now.
And they're in there to help, and that's what we're there to do. We're there to help you. So, you know, help us help you, be honest, and just be... I know it's uncomfortable for people because we come into their homes and they're obviously at a point that's very dynamic, so we need to intervene and act on everyone's best, you know, their best intentions and... you know, get a good outcome for everyone involved. It's a cycle that we need to break and we need to be supportive and give those support to our, you know, to everyone involved in this situation.
And how we've dealt with family violence has changed dramatically, because we used to turn up to incidents and we would usually see a male and a female, and the female's the victim, the male's the offender.
Yeah.
And we would just either, if there was nothing that we could see physically happening, we might just tell the male to leave. We would then guide the woman to some services, but we would just do nothing with the offender of the violence. And we now realise that both people need assistance. Both people need to be referred to services, because it's also the offender who needs to be aware that their actions aren't appropriate. And often they're not aware of that.
Yeah.
So you've got to look at both sides.
Obviously, there are so many different needs that the community has, and family violence is such a broad thing, as we've discussed. How, you know, are things changing? Are there different needs that the community has? Are there different things that you are, you know, you're rocking up and you are seeing particular things changing, or, you know, greater issues? Or and how do you stay sort of on top of that? Like, how do you all keep fully trained to know how to handle these new, you know, situations that you're dealing with? I mean, even drugs in the community, I'm assuming different types of drugs that people are taking, and it can definitely all add up to a concoction of a disastrous situation, right?
Our focus previously has always been on intimate partner violence, so a couple, whether that be heterosexual or two people of the same gender or transgender. But now we're finding that we're turning up to incidents where it might be siblings having issues with each other, or parents and siblings. And if we look at an LGBTI aspect of that, that might be the parents not accepting the gender identification or the sexual orientation of their child.
Yep.
And often you'll find children being kicked out of home, becoming homeless. If there's cultural or religious side to that, it might be that they have their religious leader come in to talk to the young person to try to, I guess, pray away the gay.
Yeah.
And we're seeing incidents like that becoming more prevalent, and that's something that police have to really look out for, and we weren't looking for those things before.
Yeah, don't quote me on the actual number, but I believe that young LGBTI people have a 4 times greater chance of being homeless due to such issues.
Some number like that, which is atrocious.
Terrible, yeah. Mm. So, Gabby, what does family violence look like in the LGBTI community that is different to heterosexual intimate partner violence?
There certainly are some things that can be very different that wouldn't be in a heterosexual relationship. So just say someone was going through gender-affirming and they were taking medication. So if their partner was saying withholding the medication from them, that's something that's a little bit different. Also, if you've got people who are in a same-sex relationship, for example, and one of the partners is saying, well, you're not gay enough. Just little digs at people, personal digs. That's family violence.
Right, yeah.
And Carolyn's got an interesting recent example of something that she knows about locally, I suppose.
Yeah. We had a lady attended our watch house. So you can just walk into a local police station and report this. It doesn't have to be through 000. She came in to report that she was a victim of family violence, and she really struggled with that. She was in a same-sex relationship, and her partner had given birth to their daughter, and they were living together and everything was going well. But then the cycle of family violence began to kick in, and break down. So she really struggled with seeking that support.
Hmm.
So the first step for her was coming into the police station and saying, look, I'm not coping. I know this isn't right and I need that help, because the partner was saying things to her like, why don't you just go have your own baby, you know, and this, she's my daughter, and things like that, using that controlling behaviour to dictate how that relationship was working. So as a uniform sergeant, I spoke with her, took a statement about what was happening in their relationship, and went about going for intervention orders so I could get her that protection in place so that she was quite satisfied that the relationship was over between the two. But getting her that support, number one, and putting some things in place to protect her as the affected family member, and also just for their daughter's sake as well. So that can manifest differently in those kind of relationships, and it's important that police acknowledge that. And being a GLO, I was obviously like aware and in tune with that. So if you do have to attend and report these things, and local stations do have GLOs in place, and we can help you out. So
I think it's quite an interesting thing, because we obviously always feel like we need to deal with our own issues the best we can for as long as we can. And then when it, you know, often comes to breaking point, that's when we finally stand up and say, I think I need some help with this.
Yeah.
So this podcast and knowing these services exist might help someone get to that point a little bit quicker, and hopefully before a whole heap of physical violence or, you know, mental manipulation.
Yeah, and so family violence is something that people tend to suffer in silence. They're not going to report it straight away. They often have a number of incidents that occur before they feel comfortable reporting it, if they ever do. And so if you've got LGBTI added to that, and people are saying to you, oh, well, the police are homophobic, transphobic, biphobic, they're not going to take it seriously, they're not going to understand.
Sure. Yep.
They're extra barriers that we've just got to make sure that people are aware that all police can deal with these matters, no matter what part of society you come from and how you identify.
Well, look, obviously a huge problem in society to deal with, and you obviously are doing a very good job of supporting the community, so thank you very much. I guess it would be great to know where there are extra resources. Recapping, you can contact people like VAC, Drummond Street.
Yes. We've got Switchboard, so Counselling Service, Victorian AIDS Council, do counselling. Transgender Victoria, if you've got gender identification, gender diversity, and Drummond Street Family Services are some great services to get in touch with.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming in for another Joy Glow podcast. Thank you very much to Sergeant Carolyn Beasley and also Sergeant Tanya Connolly for coming here to chat family violence with us today. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and help people know about the resource that we have here. And hopefully we'll also be linked to iTunes, so you'll be able to subscribe there so you don't miss any of the important information we're sharing.
And make sure you say you like us too.
It's very important to like the show and the podcast. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/theglowshow to find more episodes, or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.